Radio Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In federal court today, John Martirano, the former right-hand man and enforcer for Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger, was back on the stand. Martirano has admitted to killing 20 people, and as a key witness for the prosecution, he has linked Bulger to 11 of those murders.
Today, he faced tough questions from Bulger's attorneys. For example, when the defense asked him if he was a serial killer, Martirano replied, "I didn't enjoy killing anybody, but I enjoyed helping friends."
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri joins us now from the federal courthouse in South Boston. So, David, another day of testimony from the prosecution's key witness. Did John Martirano help the government's case?
He helped the government's case this morning when he was on direct. And then during the cross-examination, the tread started coming off the tank. Anthony, what happened here today is a reminder why the government held its nose, why the good guys in this case held their noses when they cut a deal with John Martirano. They have presented him as somebody who is telling the truth. He may well be telling the truth, but he comes across, and especially during the cross-examination, as a reprehensible human being.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the highlights. Start with the direct, first of all, this morning. You said that helped the case. What were some of the highlights from this morning?
Martirano continues to implicate Bulger in murders. Now, the test of Martirano, as the government would say, is not whether he's a terrific human being. Is his story corroborated in any way? Mm-hmm. And they have other witnesses who haven't shown up yet who are going to repeat what he says. He's been consistent. And, you know, this is a tale. What we heard today is a tale not twice told but thrice told, because he's testified at two previous trials, both involving John Connolly, the FBI agent. He's testified before. Much of this is a repeat of testimony. But what's different here is that under cross-examination, which was withering today, the treads on this tank that the government had rolled out against Bulger started coming undone. And because what he has done and what the defense has successfully done here today is established that John Martirano, by the classic definition, is a sociopath, somebody who cannot take social responsibility or moral responsibility for what he has done.
Yeah, I mean, for example, he said that he didn't enjoy killing anybody, but he enjoyed helping a friend if he could. And then he added, "I always tried to be a nice guy."
Well, that was the drop-dead line. If there's anything that's come close to being laughable in this tale, which, like Dante's Inferno, puts us in the inner circles of hell, that was it. That this guy presented himself as a man of family values. And he talked about learning from it was totally bizarre. He talked about having learned from the nuns and the priests the lessons that you never abandon your friends and families. And they had taught him that Judas was the worst person in the world. This, for me, by the way, was a revelation, because I never realized in Sunday school that Judas was a rat. And that's how he presented things, that he was killing Judases, people who were rats, people who were going to help his family and friends. And of course, here, Hank Brennan, the defense attorney, was masterful at showing all his evasions of responsibility.
And I guess that's really one of the points, isn't it? Because from the reading that I've been doing, so one of Bulger's defense attorneys essentially tells Martirano that you are a mass murderer, are you not? And let's stop trying to blame everyone else for your killings.
Well, this is classic. So, yeah. For instance, on the subject of Jack Bano, one of his murder victims, he says, somebody that came at him with a knife. He says that he took Bano's knife away and he stabbed Bano only to protect himself. And then he tells the story of dragging Bano into his car to be used eventually to deposit the dead Bano somewhere after he had stabbed him again. He says, "Oh, I was doing it to get to a hospital. I wanted to get him closer to a hospital." And so Brennan had just a field day with that, saying, if you had left him there in a public bar, do you not think he would have gotten to a hospital? There was another one, Anthony, that is really troubling. 1969, he went to kill somebody in a car in Roxbury. He says it was too dark. He got into the car. He knew that there were three people in the car. He wanted to kill the driver, and he said he killed them with three shots. Only later, to his horror, he says, does he realize that one of them was a woman. He said, while they were all wearing hoodies, I couldn't see. It was established by Brennan today. They were not wearing hoodies. And more to the point, he had shot her from a foot away. So they are just honing in to these stories that just undercut his credibility.
And you say, I mean, clearly from the start, obviously, anyone who's killed 20 people admitted to it. Rather unsavory character, flawed witness at best. You say the tracks are sort of coming off the government case here.
Let me correct you. I'm sorry. Yeah. The treads were coming off his personal standing,
gotcha.
His moral standing,
gotcha.
And that's the difference. And here's the key with this, Anthony.
Yeah.
Here's the key. The government is using a sociopath as a cooperating witness,
right,
against a man it characterizes as a sociopath. But in this case, Modorano, let's have completely wide open eyes to this thing. Modorano is a sociopath, however, and it shows that nature of the deal, but he may well be telling the truth. His testimony convicted Connolly in Miami, and much of his testimony is expected to be corroborated by follow-up witnesses.
I see. Well, fascinating story. Now, he's going to be back on the stand tomorrow for more cross-examination by the defense. Is that right?
The cross-examination will continue, and then the government has the opportunity to revive him. I mean, they got him into the corner, staggering into the corner this afternoon. The government will try to revive him tomorrow, but they should not and need not prove that he is a remarkable, upstanding human being, because he is not doing God's work here, for God's sakes. He is not a patriot. However, he may well be telling the truth, and they shouldn't be afraid to present him, drag him through the mud, and say, yet he is telling the truth.
What a story. It continues. David Boeri, senior reporter at WBUR, and behind the new WBUR multimedia project, Bulger on Trial, which you can visit at WBUR.org. David Boeri, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Stick with us, because coming up, Secretary John Polonowicz, he's in charge of the Massachusetts Department of Health and Human Services. He joins us to talk about everything from the implementation of the state's new medical marijuana law to the ongoing battle to control rising health care costs. Stick with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.